You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and their Black Friday event this November. Up to 0% financing for 84 months on select 2018 models and up to an $11,000 total value on select 2018 models. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Time to talk Oilers and the things that have happened around that team with the Rashaag Report, brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross, Alberta's leading benefit provider. Get an affordable group benefit plan for your business by calling Alberta Blue Cross today. Let's bring him in right now. Mr. Ryan Rashaag, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Rock solid today, buddy. Getting my Friday off to my weekend off to an early start. So thanks for having me on a little early today.
Yeah, I like that.
Gotta get a running start at the weekend, buddy.
Yeah, I give you props for sneaking that in. You know what? I want to start at like 2 hours early or 3 hours early. So you know what? It's fine. You can buy me a local beer at some point to call it even.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got her. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I got to get my money's worth with you, so let's start pounding the turf here. The Oilers very active on the waiver wire today, picking up Zykov, not to be mixed up with Zoltok. Your thoughts on what Valentin Zykov could bring or could do for the Oilers on his third team?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I have to admit, I don't know a ton about the player, so you read into him a little bit. What I did do is I clicked onto there's a YouTube link that shows, I think, all 33 goals from the AHL 1 year or something like that, just a pile of his goals in the AHL, and you just watch the way he creates offense and just watch the way he scores goals, and most of them are 10 to 15 feet out, and they're snapshots, and lots of them are nice and low. He looks like a guy who can get the puck on his stick and get it off fairly quickly and has a nice shooting instinct in and around the slot area. So that's what at least he was doing that year. So,
sure.
I mean, I watch him in there and it's pretty consistent. Looks like he's got a decent one-timer as well. It's interesting to me because we just spent a little bit of time talking about Ty Ratty,
sure,
and how there should be more opportunity for him, and they just went out and grabbed another offensive-minded right shot right winger. So very interesting. We'll see what that means. I don't know if Patrick Russell gets moved down. You got Toby Reeder, who will be healthy in the not too distant future. Ty Ratty, Ryan Spooner. Boy, they've just got a lot of guys hanging around the outskirts of that top nine forward spot, don't they?
Yeah, I think they have a lot of people. They're just on their knees praying that someone clicks at someone. I know someone gets hot at some point. And I'm wondering, Shogger, the other day it was really interesting when I listened to Hitch talk before the game. He's like, he's trying to add depth to this team, trying to get depth. And I've been trying to think, what does that mean? And when I look at him putting Spooner as a fourth line center, I wonder if he's not trying to create like a bit of an offensive line there. And does he feel that maybe this Zykov could come in and do that? And, you know, what happens to Jujar? Is it Jujar, Ratty, is it the new guy Zykov and Ratty and then Spooner to try to create an offensive line that, you know, in your fourth line position? Because I'm trying to figure out what that means and how this fits in together.
Yeah, it's a good question. Does he want to have a fourth line available to him that he can throw over the boards, that can go out there and maybe have the expectation to generate offense? He's clearly not building role players into that line. I mean, there's no Eero Pakarinen, and I mean, Jujar Kara can kind of play that type of role. Patrick Russell was as well, but they're bringing in a different type of player right now. So you've got the Lucic line, the Brodziak line that maybe brings a little bit more of that element. I'm not sure what they're trying to do with this. It almost feels like just more at-bats. The more at-bats they have with right-shot guys, excuse me, that have some offensive pedigree somewhere on their hockey DB resume, and maybe they'll find somebody that can continue to click. Yet, I mean, there's Chiasson getting another one last night. Puljujarvi's in that second spot right now. Maybe a change with Cassian on that third line is due. I know people felt like Doughty embellished, but I thought that was I didn't think that penalty was any good. I thought that was way too aggressive. And you went at a time when you know the refs are looking for a call against the Oilers. So, I wonder how long Cassian's stay on that line will be, although the line overall is playing pretty well. So it just feels like they want more at-bats.
Yeah, they're just trying to hope to hit it, right? You know, it's like when you buy, instead of buying 150-50, you buy 10. and you hope that you get a chance, right? Like, that's really
Well, look what they did with Chase on. I mean, look at they talk about hitting it. I mean, here they are with a guy that they got for next to nothing that's on their top line on the right side with, you know, over 10 goals already this year. So can you find one more guy like that? But it just seems, it's interesting to me that they pick up Zykov with Ratty sitting there waiting for more opportunity. Yeah. I mean, they just put a guy firmly right in front of Ty Ratty and said, here's another guy for you to compete with. So really interesting to see. And then you got Ryan Spooner, who the GM just traded for. And then you got Puljujärvi, who everybody thinks needs. It's just, there's so many guys, and it'll be interesting to see the way Hitchcock juggles it all around.
We got Ryan Rashog on the line, talking all things Edmonton Oilers. He's from TSN, and I appreciate the text today where you asked me to only call you Shog Doggy today. So I'm like, if that's what you want, I'll call you that. That's fine. I mean, a little awkward, but whatever.
I would ask you to tweet that text. You go ahead and tweet that text.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. I can't take a screenshot, buddy. I'd have to paint it.
Yeah, right.
That's the paint shot. You know, when I watched that game last night, I hockey isn't so much about this, but the one-on-one battle between McDavid and Doughty is probably my favorite one that McDavid has. Is maybe speak a little bit about that. If there's one that you like better than those two guys respectfully going at it.
Well, I really like Drake Kajula and Drew Doughty last night.
Sure.
Because I think it's a little bit more, I think Drake is a little bit more equipped to dish out. So it really, I think what we see is Drew Doughty's out there all the time against McDavid, and like any defenseman, he has a tough time sometimes. I mean, McDavid just, when you can walk around Drew Doughty like that, it's ridiculous.
Crazy.
It just shows you how good Connor is. So to me, it's about Connor going toe-to-toe with one of the best skating defensemen on the planet, most mobile defensemen on the planet, and still exposing him, and Doughty doing the best he can to not take penalties and to not get too frustrated. You know, and there was some physicality there for sure. I really like what Drake Kajula did last night against Drew Doughty. I think that is precisely the way Drake Kajula needs to play the game as often as possible. You've heard me say it on this show for years, Struddy. He's the best pure hitter tactically, like from a just the ability to line him up, to use his body weight. He's a fantastic hitter timing-wise. And the aggression that he went at Doughty with last night was perfect. Then he's got other players chasing him around, trying to get him back. He's got Doughty frustrated, looking at the refs. That was a great performance from Drake Kajula last night, using his speed and his timing and his physical play. So I agree with you. The McDavid-Doughty matchup is fantastic, but Drake Kajula entered into that conversation last night just with aggressive play against the right player.
You know, he's really starting to figure it out, and he does have that annoying-looking face. Now he's missing a tooth. You know,
missing like, the tooth, I know.
That seems to make
like
the difference.
The guys just want to knock the other one out, hey?
They do. You just look at him, I'm like, you know what, this guy does look like a little annoying, you know, turd. And, you know, and that's a compliment, like, because that's what Zach has, that same look, right? And it just kind of pisses you off, and I think he's doing a great job. Let's shift over now to Klefbom, and you know, maybe speak to how much it helps to have a D-man score goals, especially big goals like that.
Well, and on the power play too, right? Like last night's power, I mean, the order power play is starting to be something they can lean on a little bit. And when, you know, when they get out there, you have the feeling like something's going to happen. So I think it's really important. I think it's important for Klefbom to find that offensive confidence, Struds. He had it a couple of years ago and ran that power play with a lot of confidence. So I think his game is getting there. I mean, I asked Hitchcock about Klefbom specifically after the game. I don't know if you heard his answer. He talked about how he wants 25 minutes to be kind of the lower end for him. He wants to push him up even more, which I'm not sure that works for the way Klefbom plays. I find he's a hard minute kind of guy. Like he's not a guy that conserves energy and glides around effortlessly out there. He's a hard working guy. I don't know if you can play him 30 minutes, but I guess we'll see if Hitch wants to try that. But a really important game for him, and a couple of games and some confidence. And you know, I really like that wrinkle they moved onto the power play. Correct me if I'm wrong, Studdy. They did not do that last year, where the guy on the left side, and in this case it's Nugent Hopkins, he takes the puck, takes two or three hard strides in. The forward has to respect him and cover his route to the net. And Nugent Hopkins does that behind the back pass to the blue line, which then is misdirection. It's a set play. It allows Klefbom to either bomb it in there like he did last night, or it allows him to slide it across to the right to somebody sitting there, potentially a one-timer. I love that wrinkle. I think it was Glenn Gulletson that brought it with him, because we didn't see it until this year.
Yeah, it's true. We've seen it quite a few times. I actually talked about it earlier, because it is, you do have to play it down. You have to accept that you think that Nuge is going to take that shot. and all of a sudden lays up, and they're very good at timing it, and Oscar kind of skates into it to hit that shot. But I just think when you look at the team, you need, and I went through all the guys in 16, 17 who had around 20 goals. And I put the two D-men, Sequeira at 8 and Klefbom at 12, as support. I mean, that's support. And you could just see, you know, when you see the response from the guys on the bench and even Connor and after the game talking about it, it's just like, I don't have to do it all tonight. You know, and I think that helps so much because it's just random. And you don't have to, I don't expect Oscar to score, you know, 12 goals the rest of the season. But, you know, if he can do it, and then maybe Cassian gets one time, and then Lucic gets one, and Jason's already doing, like, you get help from other places. It supports your top guys so much. And I think it takes the pressure off collectively off that top end group, those top three scorers.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it, when you get contributions from the blue line, everybody breathes a little bit easier. And, you know, on the topic of Klefbom and how far he can push it, I mean, he's a veteran defenseman now. He's got all kinds of experience. At the same time, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility for guys to develop, you know, to a different level later on in their career. So how far can Klefbom push it offensively? I mean, who knows? We'll see. But the way he's looking on that power play, the way he's shooting the puck, the way we know confidence affects players so significantly. So a little bit of confidence, and as they start going in, I wonder where he can take it. And the Oilers, you know, man, we've talked for years about a top pairing defenseman, not a top pairing defenseman. Do they have one? Do they not? Every time Oscar Klefbom piles a goal in, it's another reason to put a, you know, a check in the yes, he can be column. I don't think he's there yet compared to the other true top pairing guys around the league, but at least he's making it a conversation, whereas last year he didn't. And to be fair to him, he was hurt, played through a lot of injuries last year, but he's at least getting himself in that conversation as primary top pairing defenseman.
Last one for Ryan Rashog, a.k.a. Shog Doggy, on this Friday afternoon on TSN 1260.
I don't like it.
Well, you asked me to do it. I can only do what you asked me to do. You know, you asked me to move you up in the lineup and then give you a nickname. I can't do it all, Shogger. One last one. The last 2 minutes of the game I thought were interesting. We saw the top line go out kind of from, let's say, the two-minute mark to the one-minute mark or so, or somewhere around there. Then the next three guys out were, no surprise, Nugent Hopkins, but Drake Kajula and Brodziak on the right side, and he made a huge block that actually deflected the puck out of the zone. But, you know, it's interesting to see the way Hitch, you can kind of tell who he trusts right away based on his deployment the last 2 minutes of a one-goal lead protection at home.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he made a good adjustment there. You know, he kept four lines rolling pretty deep into that game, I felt, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in that big moment, threw the veteran guys out there, big block, smart plays, really intelligent plays. You know, smart after Brodziak lost that draw where the, you know, I think they had to whistle it down. You know, a different guy steps in there and wins it clean. Just lots of nice little veteran touches there that helped them seal off that game. The one thing I will say about the lineup and the way he's using it and what he's wanting to do with it, and he contributed last night, so it's not a huge deal. But with Puljujärvi on Nugent Hopkins' wing, take a look at Nugent Hopkins' ice time. Take a look at this player who was, what did he have? 20, I remember how many points he had. He's close to a point a game pace this year and should be playing a lot given how well he's playing. I think he was like just over 9 minutes after two periods of play last night. It was like 9:35 or something like that. So when you want to use these other lines and you want to balance things out, I get it, but there's a net cost to that. And Nugent Hopkins carrying Puljujärvi on that line, his ice time was way down. So they win the game. It's all good. I'm not trying to point out a negative, but there is a yin to every yang. And when you want to, you know, try and have more balance throughout, something happens. And I think Nugent Hopkins is a player they need to prioritize and keep him going a lot.
No doubt about it. He played a very good game last night. And Shogger, I give you an A- for your effort this afternoon. And you're welcome for coming on early. And have a great weekend, my man.
Thanks. Well, there's still lots of time for you to improve because you still got 2.5 hours, what, 3.5 hours left in the chair?
Right now,
you're running about a C minus. I'm going to send a Twitter poll here. Pick it up, get your button gear, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, I think so far that's been guest issue related, not so much me. See you later,
See you, buddy.